This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
BP is about to release its side of the oil spill story.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. In minutes, the British oil giant BP will publish an internal report on the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. The company is expected to claim that it was only partly responsible for the spill. A preview of what we can expect from Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London.
For more than 3 months, around 70 people, most of them BP staff, have pored over the details of the accident. Their report will be out within the hour. It seems certain to walk a tightrope, admitting that some BP workers made mistakes while insisting that some of the company's partners in the Gulf were also to blame. It's believed the report will take the rig owners, Transocean, to task. BP's inquiry has a single overriding objective, says Keith Bowman of stockbrokers Hargreaves Lansdown.
The company is looking to avoid claims of gross negligence at all costs. That would obviously be the most expensive outcome.
A finding of gross negligence could entail fines of as much as $20 billion. Today's report from BP is the result of an internal inquiry. Shareholders may have more to fear from the results of investigations by the U.S. Department of Justice and a host of congressional committees. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
People in the southern African country of Mozambique are celebrating today after their government reversed a price hike on bread. The increase was in response to how much more the country was having to pay for wheat and grain. It sparked food riots with demonstrations and clashes with police. 13 people died in the violence. Reporter Gretchen Wilson is with us from Johannesburg. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, Steve.
What's happening right now in Mozambique?
Well, Mozambique's planning minister is saying the government will reverse the 30% price hike on bread. He also says the government will suspend salary increases for top officials. And you might wonder about this. Why is this such a big deal? Why were people burning tires and dodging rubber bullets just over bread? But you really have to understand the local context. Rolls of bread are a staple food for Mozambicans, and the government's price increase jacked the price of one bread roll to 20 U.S. cents. This is in one of the poorest countries in the world. The average full-time worker makes just a little bit more than a dollar a day.
With the reversal, things are quiet. Could things heat back up again?
Certainly. The bigger issue is certainly not resolved. This is an ongoing clash about food security and the ability of poor nations to feed their citizens. Mozambique, for example, grows only about a third of the wheat it needs to make those bread rolls. So this story is not just about Mozambique. It really has its roots in another country more than 5,000 miles away.
Which country is that, and how is that affecting food prices in Mozambique?
Well, you really have to look to Russia. Global prices for wheat skyrocketed after Russia canceled all of its wheat exports. Droughts and fires there really hampered wheat productions. And that's what prompted the price hike on Mozambique's bread rolls. The government now says it's going to subsidize the purchase of wheat to keep bread prices the same. It's also going to maintain the price of other imported foods, things like rice and certain vegetables, by cutting custom duties and taxes.
All right. Reporter Gretchen Wilson from Johannesburg. Gretchen, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Europe are mostly higher at the moment, under 0.5%. Asian shares closed much lower, however, today, about 2% in Tokyo and Hong Kong. Concern continues there with the high price of the Japanese yen and European bank debt. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost about 1%. The Dow shed 107 points to close at 10,340.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Prices of e-reader devices such as the Kindle and the Nook have been dropping pretty fast. That's making the technology accessible to more users. And as the e-reader market heats up, we asked our sustainability reporter Adrian Hill to find out which is better for the environment, regular paper books or electronic readers.
Let's have an environmental boxing match. In this corner, weighing in at 8.5 ounces, the e-reader. The environmental downsides, e-waste, electricity use, mining products. And in the other corner, the old school favorite, books. There we've got to worry about paper, trees, water, and chemicals.
Touch gloves, go to your corner, and come out fighting!
It's not an easy fight to call. It depends on how many books you read and where you get them. Emma Rich, an analyst with the Clean Tech Group, says the e-reader comes out on top.
Most people aren't going to the library. They're not borrowing books. They're not recycling them when they're done with them.
But James McQuivey of Forrester Research says people don't think that way. The fight just doesn't matter.
People love to say that they care about the environment, but when they make purchases, they generally make purchases based on things that are a little easier for them to measure.
Like cost and convenience. Gina Garcia is a good case in point. She sits in a park reading on her Kindle. It's a toasty day in early September in downtown Los Angeles.
It never occurred to me that this was an environmentally friendly thing to do. It just never crossed my mind.
She didn't like the mess books made in her bedroom. McQuivey from Forrester thinks there's another reason that e-reader sellers won't be touting their environmental friendliness.
The problem with that message is it's one that Amazon and Barnes & Noble don't want to send because they want to continue to sell you physical books because they know you're still going to want some.
McQuivey does think we'll get to the point where e-readers and tablet devices like the iPad are more environmentally friendly and use less energy than they do now. Why? Because none of us wants to have to remember to keep charging the things. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And if you want to check out more on the environmental rumble between e-readers and paper books, head on over to Adrian's blog, Easy Answers. It's at our website, marketplace.org. And finally, we live in a consumer-driven world, not even able to escape it in the movie theater. There are previews for other flicks there, of course, but increasingly there are commercials for everything from soda to sneakers to cars. Well, one Chinese woman from the northern city of Xi'an had enough. She's suing a cinema there and the distributors of the Chinese box office hit Aftershock for wasting her time with 20 minutes of commercials before the movie. What is she demanding? A full refund, the equivalent to $5 in compensation, 15 cents for emotional damages, and a written apology. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.